This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're now listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Best Inc. is a Chinese-based, New York-listed logistics player worth around $1.6 billion. It's recently moved into the Southeast Asian region and offers express and freight delivery as well as supply chain management, amongst other things. Now, considering the buzz around e-commerce growth over the last few months and the growth potential in Southeast Asia, should you add Best Inc. to your watch list? For a perspective on Best Inc.'s prospects and outlook, I'm speaking with Johnny Chow, founder and CEO of Best Inc. Johnny, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you, Roshan.
When we take a look at your financials, your main revenue driver is Best Express, which represents around 60% of your business. Although it has been growing rapidly over the last few years, the growth has been slowing down. How much more can you grow the Best Express on a top-line basis?
The top-line growth is actually the volume growth actually is fast, still very fast, remaining. So especially after COVID-19, as more and more people are moving online, digitization and also online penetration getting more, actually the growth is continue to be in, 20. We grow that second quarter about 20%. And I think the third quarter and fourth quarter continue to grow fast. Continue to have a long way to go to grow as the more penetration online. On the top line side, we'll have a little bit lower growth because of the competition in terms of the pricings and also in terms of the smaller items, parcels, etc. So in a nutshell, that growth on parcel volume continue to be very strong on digitization and online penetration, and the revenue on top line will somewhat slower. Due to the lower pricing per parcel, as well as some of the smaller parcel, et cetera. But nevertheless, company continue to grow very healthy.
And what's the fastest growing segment, business segment you have right now?
Well, the fastest growing segments are multiple. So the one is growing the fastest right now is actually Best Global, especially in Southeast Asia. In Q2, we had grown about 90%. Quarter over quarter compared with first quarter. Of course, first quarter it's impacted by COVID-19. But even year on year, same period last year, we grew about 20 times. So close to 2,000%. So 20 times growth. We're still expecting a strong growth quarter by quarter, driven by a very strong demand and growth in online business in Southeast Asia.
Yes, I think if we take a look, overall e-commerce has been boosted by the pandemic across the globe. And with this has seen many logistics firms benefiting from the increase in volumes on an e-commerce basis. Can you quantify the impact that e-commerce has had on your business this year so far?
Yeah, e-commerce primarily, our growth this year primarily driven by the e-commerce. As more and more online digitization and online. I think the look at the Southeast Asia, I think we have a very strong second quarter. Both all in all the countries we are doing the service right now. In Thailand, I think we grow about 90% quarter over quarter from first quarter. Vietnam, same thing, we grow about 70 to 80% quarter over quarter. Malaysia, we just entered on second quarter, but we see a very strong trend since April, May and June, very strong. And we see a good uptrend in the online e-commerce. I think it's in Singapore and in Cambodia, all the market we enter. Also in United States, which we had a fulfillment services in both Southeast, the West Coast and the East Coast. We also see our demands on the second quarter are much higher than we expected or planned at the beginning of the year.
And now the Southeast Asia markets are relatively new, so they're subject to the lower base effect. What about growth in the Chinese market itself?
Chinese market, if we look at the overall market, probably all growing at about 30% for the parcel volume and side. That is, I think, somewhat higher even compared with last year. So again, it's really benefited from multiple things, right? Benefited from the COVID-19 as people more stay on home and get online, and also benefited as more social media and social others getting to the delivery, that e-commerce and online shopping type of business. So growing, still growing very rapidly.
So overall, how much does the Chinese market contribute in terms of percentage to the revenue, to the top line?
Right now it's a majority. So I would say it's a vast majority, over 90%. It's all being contributed by the Chinese market.
And have you noticed a deceleration in China when it comes to packages, a package volume, as COVID-19 starts to settle down there relative to the rest of the world?
In fact, we have already showed our second result, and based on the Postal Bureau statistics, the second quarter grew about over 30% volumes year over year, which is very strong growth. Entering to the July and August, and so far July number I see is very strong as well, is over 30%. With over 200 million parcels a day market in China and still growing at over 30% year over year, I would say that's a very strong growth.
Yeah, I think it's important to note as well for the Chinese market, Q1 was the biggest impact of the pandemic, whereas the rest of the world was more on the Q2 in the Q2 quarter. So most of your business is in China, over 90%, and Q1 on the financial side was bad because of the impact of the pandemic in China. Q2 saw recovery. Overall, for the financial year of 2020, do you expect operating profit to come back into the black?
We had a strong second quarter, as we have released it on adjusted EBITDA and non-GAAP basis. We are actually positive, certainly because we had a big plan at the beginning of the year for the full year to make it much better than last year. And because of COVID-19, the first quarter was seriously impacted. So we continue to work on the third and the fourth quarter, and with a stronger growth. And we certainly expecting a good performance in next couple quarters.
And, when we take a look at the Chinese market itself, one of the biggest players there, one of your biggest competitors in China is ZTO Express. It's currently valued around $25 billion and has a gross margin of around 28%. That was based on Q2 numbers. Your gross margins at Q2 hovered around 6%. Why is there a gap between yourselves and companies like ZTO?
The gap is mainly from several areas. One is that because we have a multiple supply chain and logistic businesses, that should require a earlier investments, such as Global, for example. We're investing heavily. Store Plus, we're investing heavily. And those are, business that will impact our bottom lines as well as the margin as well. And certain, for example, our full truck, the brokerage platforms. So we're working on some future growth initiatives and projects, which will in short term would be a little bit impacted, somewhat impacted on the short term result.
And this would be the investments that you're putting into your growth, top line growth and market growth. And another thing that is that to pay attention to, I think it was something you mentioned also a little earlier that could impact your margins, is the competitive nature of it and that average selling prices in China are coming down. What's the plan to manage all these different cost pressures?
On the cost pressure, it's multiple area, right? I think we have a very, very good cost structure compared with, for example, this quarter, 2020, second quarter, the past quarter, we have our price cost lowered by more than 21%. So, quarter over quarter. So still, more cost reduction than the pricing erosion in the ASP erosions. That will continue to keep our, pricing competitive as well as a margin healthy. So yeah, year over year, we on the past, you know, multiple years, we achieved, you know, over 10%, you know, cost reduction every year. And especially second quarter this year, it was like 20%. The cost side is continued to driving down by the increase of volumes, which give economic scale, as well as a huge investments in technology and automations, which brings a much higher efficiency in a lower labor cost, higher utilization of the hubs and sortation centers, and all this. And as you can see, all our other costs, transportation, labors, rentals, are all being reduced quite dramatically and continuously. I expecting the costs continue to work down on the premises of, you know, large volume growth and technology development, as well as the automation put into a place.
I'm speaking with Johnny Chow, founder and CEO of Best Inc. Up next, is their priority profitability or growth, and more on the expansion in the region. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Keep it here at BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Today, I'm speaking with Johnny Chow, founder and CEO of logistics player Best Inc. So, Johnny, based on everything we've discussed so far, what's your priority right now, growth or profitability?
As we stated on our earning call, we wanted to have a balanced strategy to achieve a, you know, healthy top line growth as well as bottom line growth to make sure that our liquidity as well as the future growth are also being considered.
Will that depend on the geographies? Is it more of a profitability strategy within the Chinese market, but a growth strategy within the Southeast Asian region?
Both. I think, first of all, our home market in China, we want to continue to build out our integrated solutions, being, you know, provide a customer with a better services, strive for sort of quality services as well as the cost structure, et cetera. But meanwhile, we really think that Southeast Asia has a great opportunity, and the e-commerce penetration is somewhat somewhat lower than China, as well as the growth in online e-commerce are very strong, based on the fast economic growth and the, you know, need for consumers to getting the products they need. So I think the Southeast Asia, we will continue to support and strong investment into these regions.
Now, before we talk about your expansion out of China, you said that profitability is also a priority, balancing it between growth. What's the pathway to consistent and sustainable profitability?
Well, a sustainable profitability is basically with multiple businesses. Some of the businesses we already are profitable, and some of them are still in the investment stage. So the area that we already profitable, or the segment we already profitable, we will make sure that we continue to improve the margin and improve the competitiveness with the volume growth, market share growth, et cetera. Meanwhile, we wanted to make sure that the other business that we have been in heavy investment, and we will quickly ramp up the performance and reduce the improve the margin and reduce the losses. So it's I think it's multiple, you know, both ways we have to achieve, right? One is on the more mature, like the express and freight and, you know, supply chain, which is a more mature service and products, that we want to make sure that the margins improve, the cost being reduced, and the, you know, service quality are getting better. The other area that we'll continue to develop on, like the whole truck platforms, the internationals, the store plus last mile integrations, that we want to make sure that the margins being improved and the losses being reduced, so that we can achieve a balanced growth as well as the profitabilities.
So it sounds like you're going to be using the more mature businesses to really help you grow the other businesses. But at this point, which are the Express is the biggest business, but which has the best profitability or margin at this point?
Well, I think the from our earnings call, our second quarter result, that you can see that, you know, the only absolute number wise, Express is Express and the Freight actually continue to be our two strong profitability-driven segments.
So now let's talk about the expansion out of China and in search of growth and into the Southeast Asian region. This move here, are you at risk of stretching yourself too thin at this point?
Well, I don't think so. I think, as we said, as I said, in China, that our freight and our core business, core logistic business, express, supply chain, are all, you know, in good shape, competitiveness as well as the size and the coverage and everything. But also, you know, we look at Southeast Asia, we never look at that as a stand-alone single market. Rather, we look at it as an integrated solutions or services with China. Number one, Southeast Asia is already is the largest trading partners for China, right? So they're already the number one trading partner, surpass the EU and the European Union as well as America. Second, right, there's a lot of cross-border business that between the countries in the region, especially between China to the rest of the Southeast Asian nations, being e-commerce driven, being manufacturing, B2B related. So the cross-border is very big. In fact, I see a lot of our China business are strongly related or driven by, benefited from Southeast Asia growth. For example, our supply chain, right? I mean, our supply chain has a lots of business through the border of you know, China's in Guangxi province or so, had the road transportation, right? Not just the traditional air or freight to Vietnam, to Thailand. And we see a lot of cross-border business between our express and freight between China to Southeast Asia nations and Southeast Asian back to the China as well. So I don't see a Southeast Asia growth as a single entry strategy or single business development, but rather see it as a integral part of existing China-based business and development.
So you've expanded into Singapore, Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, and Malaysia at this point. But you haven't moved into Indonesia and Philippines yet. Is it only a matter of time before you move into those markets?
Yeah, we certainly had a plan to do so. But COVID-19 changed a lot of things because of travel and all the others become a little bit difficult. But yeah, certainly is our plan. You know, we wanted to make the Southeast Asia an integral part of the coverage and service.
And just taking a look at particularly the Indonesian and Philippine markets, because they're large countries, but logistically they're quite fragmented and a bit of a hurdle at times. What's the strategy to overcome these hurdles? Are you maybe looking at local partners in those countries?
Yeah, every country we enter in, typically we find some strong local partners. In Thailand, we did that. We basically had a joint venture there with a local partner. In Vietnam, we also, you know, joint venture acquired a company that we work together on that. So in Malaysia and Singapore, with a similar type of strategy, basically working with the local partners that are working together and helping each other on the joint ventures, et cetera. So yeah, given to Indonesia and Philippines, given, like you said, in, you know, the many islands and all these other challenges on the development, we will partner with some local partners to do so.
Who's your local partner in Malaysia or the JV partner?
Well, a JV partner, before there's a company called May Express. Basically, they were primarily doing the logistics locally as well as cross-border between Malaysia and China. So they have a fairly big presence in cross-border between China and Malaysia business, as well as a smaller operation as express development into the Malaysia. So we work together on that.
you've mentioned that in each country or market that you enter, you form a partnership or a JV or almost each market. How important are partnerships to your strategy?
It's actually very important, right? There's two kinds of partner, right? One is our platform and also the platform partners, such as in all the country we enter. So we set up a joint venture, and they know the market well, and you know we have to respect the local cultures and regulations, all these, and they are really knowing the market well. So working with them, we can provide technology and the technical know-how, business know-how into our area, and connection with the outside the market, China and North America, etc. But as a part of a partner I'm talking about is the last mile partners, right? The partners, actually, they what we call agents or franchisees in different markets. So actually in China, we're doing the same thing, right? We have, you know, tens of thousands of last mile franchisees. And what they do is they develop the local market, working with the local customers as well as doing the local parcel delivery and collections. And these are all very important partnerships. So as I said, you have two kinds of partnership. One is that from the headquarter point of view, from corporate point of view, we have partners in the local countries and we form partnership. And other partnership is a last mile. And last mile basically is all small, medium enterprises. They being some logistic company or they doing some kind of commerce or some kind of trading or but what they acting as Best Express or Best Logistics Technologies last mile agents or franchisees, and they will cover the local market, develop the local market with customers, doing the collections and drop off and delivery, et cetera. So that is, I think it's somewhat different from a lot of market we enter, and a lot of market we enter, they are directly operated, basically their own employee doing that, but we are really working with our franchisees, agents.
All right, Johnny. On that note, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Roshan.
I was speaking with Johnny Chow, founder and CEO of Best Inc., and this has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kunnison for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.